Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with veteran jazz guitarist Andy Rothstein. We had a spirited talk about his 2022 CD, Truth Against the World, with the Andy Rothstein Band. So take the styles of Mike Stern, Pat Martino, and Stevie Ray Vaughan, throw a little bit of Andy Summers and U2's The Edge for good measure, and you might just end up with that sound of Andy. He has played guitar since the age of 13, and he's studied with the best like Kevin Eubanks. His story is a fascinating one. Enjoy.
Hey, thanks for taking a minute out for the show. I appreciate it.
And thanks for having me. I definitely appreciate it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about Truth Against the World, the new album, and it's coming out during the tail end of this pandemic. Very strange time for the last 2 years with very low, not much live music going on. Well, what does it mean to you, and how does it feel for it to be coming out right now?
It's definitely strange coming out of the pandemic, but I do think hopeful, right? So a lot of the work on the CD was put on hold for obvious reasons. We all couldn't get together, but it was really encouraging when we were able to get together and record the final couple of tracks. And I think there was a certain energy of the fact that all of us had been, you know, apart for quite a while, and we did some remote tracking, remote recording projects that really, you know, they certainly were great to keep playing and great to be creative, but there's a certain energy that it's lacking when you're not together feeding off each other, particularly with this kind of music. So I think one of the tracks we recorded, you know, sort of as things were starting to open up, was the first cut on the album, Perfect Storm. And I think we really captured that energy. Part of it was just we just hadn't really had the opportunity to play together, so I think we all really fed off of each other a certain energy, more so than we probably normally would. So that was part of how I felt about that.
So talk to me a little bit about the artistic construction, how all of this came together, how the actual flow of being in the studio, and how you feel about the final product.
Great question. From an art standpoint, so my wife Alyssa is a designer, and she really conceptualized it entirely on her own based on what she knew about me and the project. So she certainly knew that it was influenced by Frank Lloyd Wright. I mean, the two of us were together when we visited Taliesin West in Arizona, and we both noticed that phrase on a plaque, Truth Against the World. So immediately I was like, wow, I love that phrase. This was quite a long time ago, I'd say about 2013. So she wanted to get a bit of the architectural theme going, and so that's where the design of sort of like a schematic or a blueprint is really the basis for that. And the other thing that I mentioned in the liner notes is just how that experience really inspired me to innovate. And I've also done a lot of innovation with, you know, guitar, electronics, and things along those lines. So I think the idea of a blueprint really, you know, checked a few boxes for me, sort of the, you know, guitar innovation, the inspiration, and the architecture. And I just think it sort of captured the spirit of the CD. And to your other question about how do I feel about the final product, I'm very, very happy, really ecstatic about it. Everything from the material, the recording process, the performances, and the variety, the fact that it captures several genres that I feel are part of my background, ranging from rock to jazz, and of course the design of it, the final product is certainly something I'm proud of.
So what are you ultimately hoping the audience gets from this, the listener gets from this experience?
Another great question. I hope to connect with the listeners. I hope they could experience some of the musical chemistry. There was not really much of anything artificial in the recording of this. Much of it was live performances. Some are first take solos where we'd opted, maybe if there's an imperfection, there's an energy there. We're going to keep it, right? Because it really, you can hear the interaction. So that's really what I hope people will experience from it. Like the feeling of being in a club, watching that live performance, that live interaction, and that's what we aimed to capture. And I think in many of the songs we did you know, we achieved that, some more, you know, more than others, but that's what I'm hoping that people will appreciate out of it, that live energy, that live interaction that we really strived for.
So let's go back to the beginning of this pandemic when everything began. You know, it was a time of reflection and people were at home and you had time to kind of assess your life. What did you figure out about yourself that maybe you didn't realize before that's going to make you stronger as you get out and promote this album and get back out to more live music?
It was a terrible experience, the pandemic, I think, just for, you know, so much loss of life and just so much in the way of change, permanent change to society and you know, opportunities missed for many people throughout this, and revenue missed, and just the impact was enormous. But I think self-reflection was important. I really think I ultimately, as a result of that, really look at what's important. What are the things that are really important to you in life? You know, you're only here so long, right? Well, you don't know when your demise is, and make sure that you're really doing what you feel you're meant to do and utilizing your talents and enjoying every moment. So I just think a sense of appreciation is one positive outcome, I think, or a positive change for myself personally.
So let's go back to the beginnings of your life here. Talk to me a little bit about how jazz, and more specifically, just kind of your path began for you in music.
Yeah, it's a somewhat non-traditional. As a little tyke, I was given piano lessons. I didn't particularly excel at it. Didn't have much of an interest in it. And I sort of gave that up around age 11-ish, somewhere around there. And then when I show up for high school the first day, you know, your schedule was auto-generated, your standard courses, and there, strange to me, was an elective was picked for me. It was guitar. It's like, oh, that's cool. I like music. Maybe I'll like guitar, right? So I didn't learn much of anything in that. It was just a chance to go to school and bring a guitar with you. I had my mother's old acoustic. She didn't play, you know, guitar, just happened to have that. And it just started me off on a journey. And, you know, I ended up studying with getting some private lessons, and I only got so far with it. And then one day in my sophomore year of high school, I go into a local music store, Mandolin Brothers in Staten Island. That's where I went to high school. And I see a kid who's a year younger than me bending notes like Eric Clapton. I'm like, where did you learn to do that? I would love to do that. And he said, well, I take lessons with a guy named Vinny Zumo in Staten Island. I said, well, hook me up with him. So anyway, so I ended up, he's become a lifelong mentor of mine. We've been friends really ever since, but I studied with him through high school, and he really got me on the path to blues and rock, but he's also a jazz player, and he took me and Darren out to see Joe Pass. Oh, I was probably a junior at the point. That was my first real exposure, first definite exposure to live jazz, and I was floored. I couldn't believe it. So I really developed an interest at that point, and then when I went to Rutgers, I didn't even realize like a jazz program was such a thing, or I didn't even consider there was an idea of like a music major. I was actually majoring in computer science, and I discovered there was a really great music program in there. And I like, wow, I wonder, there's a jazz band. Let me try out for that. And I remember showing up there with, you know, 15 other or so guitar players. I'm like, I don't have a shot. And lo and behold, I got a shot on the B team. I'm calling it a team, right? The B jazz band. And then next year, the A jazz band. I'm like, well, maybe I'm pretty good. And I ended up double majoring and having the fortunate opportunity to study with both Ted Dunbar and then, when he was on sabbatical, Kevin Eubanks. And both of whom had a very big influence on me, on getting me on the right path for jazz and jazz education, and really just kind of getting that lifelong journey of improving myself and improvisation. So that's kind of how it all started for me.
Right on. Well, what was the first live jazz show that you saw that really blew you away?
So that's a great question. So the first one that I could remember that blew me away was Pat Martino. So I saw him in, I can't remember if it was the Village Vanguard or it was the Blue Note, and I probably should remember it. I was about, I was in college, I was about maybe 19 or so, or 20, and I just watched him blow through the changes, the percussiveness, the fire, the, I just kept thinking, boy, rock, jazz is just as has the same energy as, like, name on any other style of music, like punk or rock or heavy metal. I mean, the fire and energy and the passion, I'm like, there was just nothing timid about it. It was just so assertive and just so, I was just so amazed by him. And I went to see him live a few times, and I mean, I've certainly done my share of work transcribing some of his lines and incorporating them and trying to understand his philosophy. But that's the first one that I can think of that just completely floored me, and, you know, I just had to go see him numerous times. Mike Stern had a similar effect when I would see him at the 55 Bar. So, but none like Pat Martino. That was my first one that would blow me off of my chair.
So what is it that you like the best about being a professional musician? Every day you get to wake up and you get to live this life. What's the best part of it for you?
I mean, I don't earn my income entirely from music, so I view it as a labor of love, and I get to create music on my own terms, right? So that's the best part about making my own music. Like, I don't feel I have to answer to, you know, really something other than my inner voice. That's really what I always answer to in terms of it. And that's, you know, that's what really keeps me going is the ability to be able to, you know, produce music that is what I hear and is what inspires me and is natural for me to play. And I always surround myself with musicians that ensure that I have to up my level, right? So some of the musicians that I work with in my ensemble are very incredibly high level, and the effect of that on me is it always inspires me to up my game, right, and always match the level of musicianship. So hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it certainly does, yeah. So, you know, as we kind of return to live music and get back to it, you know, we've been away from it largely for 2 years now. What do you hope we all realize about the power of live music as we get back to it?
I hope, yeah, great. It's a great question. I hope we realize that live music is always unique. There's magic that happens in the moment. There's chemistry that happens in the moment that, and particularly with music, you know, such as jazz, where there's really, and you could be a part of it that would never be the same, right? Every performance, there'll be something unique about it, and it's a way of connecting and really feeling music in person, right? To be able to really experience it as opposed to just listen to it on your iPhone, right? Which is hardly an experience, which is, I think, how many listen to music often, myself included, right, at times, right? But I think being there in, you know, experience that live interaction very much like a live conversation, right? It is something special, in my opinion.
So everyone has a perception of who they think you are, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. You have a perception of yourself. Who do you think you are?
That's a tough one. I think I'm a writer from a music standpoint, probably a writer first and an improvisationalist. So I'm always, whenever I sit down and practice, even if it's just like a warm-up, I am always, you know, some form of idea usually comes, right, at that point. So I'm always, like, so that's the thing that I feel the most, you know, passionate about is writing. And, of course, every idea doesn't get developed. Sometimes it's just a really cool line or a really cool section, and I try to write them down so they don't get lost. But that's really what drives me and what I think of myself as a composer, even in the study of improvisation, right? As just, if you're forgetting about a writer, if the art of improvisation is I think, so often something particularly newer to jazz education is something that is a mystery to many people. Like, what am I doing? Am I playing scales? Should I play arpeggios? Should I learn someone's transcribed solos? And what do I do with that? Right? I think they figured, and I know for me it was a big mystery, but I think a lot of what I've learned over the years is as you're developing improvisation is building a vocabulary. So so some of what you're doing is constructing or writing lines. Not that you're going to play them verbatim when you perform live, but it's part of your vocabulary. So I even look at writing and composition as something that I feel is part of improvisation, at least at the practice level, right? You know, the sort of shedding level is part of it too.
Beautiful, man. Hey, thank you for taking some time out for Neon Jazz today and opening up. I really appreciate it. Good luck with the album and the return to the stage.
Hey, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure. Have a great rest of your day, man.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in New York City, Kansas City, and spots all over the globe, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Andy for his time, energy, and cool. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.